chapter 10. Thank you, Lord. Listening to that baby, I'm reminded of God's creation groaning, crying out in their need. The baby has a need, and that's all it knows how to do is cry out. And all of us have a groaning, a cry. Humanity is crying out. So many not even understanding what they actually need. But I'm so thankful today that God heard that cry, heard that groaning, and he knew what the need was, and he sent Jesus. And that's really what this passage is talking about. I'm going to start here in verse 5 in Hebrews chapter 10. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin. You had no pleasure. And then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. And then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And Lord, I thank you this morning. You gave yourself, you gave your life. Thank you, Father, for sending your son, Jesus. Thank you, God, for hearing our cry. Thank you for revealing yourself to us, Lord, and making known to us the gospel, the good news. You answered the cry of many in this room, Lord, but there's still so many crying. There's still so many lost, Lord, that need to know that you came. You lived a sinless life. You gave your body as a living sacrifice once and for all, Lord. You did what the law couldn't do. And you made a way of salvation for all mankind, for any that would repent and put their faith in what you did there on the cross. And I thank you because you rose from the dead. You ratified it. You sealed it, Lord, with your promise, God. You put the seal upon it, Lord, that you finished the work you came to do, Lord. And we thank you for that this morning, God. And I pray, Lord, as has already been spoken here in this meeting this morning, you would remind us of our own bodies, Lord, and that they're here for your will, for your purpose in the earth, Lord. And I pray you would speak to us as a body, as individuals this morning, God. You would convey your heart, your plan, your purpose for our lives, Lord. Your vision for your church, Lord. So speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit. Thank you all for being willing to be open to the Lord, to allow him to speak through you. I really hope you guys were listening to different things that were shared in the meeting, because it really was the Holy Spirit speaking to us. In verse 10, it talks about a body being prepared, a physical body that would manifest the glory of God to mankind. And in John 1:14, we hear it spoken of where it says, the Word became flesh. God, the God of the universe, became flesh. He became a human being. That's so beyond our comprehension. We really don't understand how much God had to humble himself to come in human form. A baby, Jesus cried like an infant, because he was an infant. He needed nourishment at times from his mother. God humbled himself, became human. And he dwelt among us, and he manifested God's glory to the world. And we beheld his glory, it says, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It was favor, undeserved, that God sent his Son. Grace together with truth. That's the light that's come into the world, the truth. But it came with grace. It didn't come to condemn the world. It came with arms open wide to any that would listen. That's the grace of God to human beings that didn't deserve it. And it was because he heard our cry. He heard the groaning of humanity, and he answered it with Jesus. He answered it with his own heart, displayed for all of us to see in the work of the cross. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful personally that God shone that light into my heart many years ago, and I've never been the same because of it. And I just want to share that with as many people as I can. That's why I'm here. After thousands of years, Jesus stood up one day, and this is going to be our main text in Luke chapter 4. Just think about it. After thousands of years of groaning, here's God in the flesh standing up in a synagogue, reading his own word, his own promise from the book of Isaiah. But really, it was a promise made way back in Genesis. God's answer to the curse hanging over mankind. To the wrath of God, really, that hangs over everyone that has not put their faith in Christ. But here in Luke chapter 4, let me turn over there. I'm going to start reading here in verse 16. So he came to Nazareth, Jesus, where he had been brought up. God brought up a kid. I want you to think about that. God brought up like these little ones here. Like our little beautiful boy here, Justice. Jesus was a little boy just like you. Imagine that. God, the Creator, twiddling a pen maybe in his hand, or a quill, probably. Nurturing on his mom. Incredible. Right? God did that for all of you. He came so you would know him. Dwelt among us. And now he's grown and he's fulfilling his mission. He has a mission. He's on earth with a mission. And he stands up in the synagogue in verse 18 and he speaks these words. Found in the place where it was written. And we have to understand this. Really, when they read scripture, it was assigned scriptures they would read in the synagogue. So when it says he opened to a place, no, that was the reading for the day. God appointed that day for Jesus to stand up in this synagogue and proclaim this prophecy. And basically at the end, we'll see, he says, it's fulfilled today because I'm here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he closed the book. He gave it back to the attendant. He sat down. The eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he said to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. In John chapter 1, verse 32, John said this, John the Baptist bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and I have testified, this is the Son of God. And the Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus, anointed him to fulfill his mission. Because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That was his mission. The joyful message of the cross. That's what the gospel is. Acts 10:38 says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And Jesus was sent with a purpose, with a message, and he was sent to the poor. Now, the poor can mean those destitute of the comforts of this life, who are obviously a little more disposed to understanding their need to seek the treasures in heaven. Jesus said it's hard for a rich man, but it's also spoken of in Matthew 5:3 in a different way, where it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, and basically those who understand or sense their need or are sensible of their sins and understand they're helpless and that unless God intervenes, there's no hope for them. Poor in spirit. He came for those. He sent him to the brokenhearted to console those who are deeply afflicted, those whose hearts have been broken by external calamities, by a sense maybe of their own sinfulness. Bow down. That's the idea of that. Bow down in spirit. Cast down. But Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. He saves such as have a contrite heart. Psalm 147:3 says, he heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. That's my testimony. He continues to do that for me. So many around us need to know his healing and his comfort. He came to proclaim liberty to the captives. Psalm 102, it gives us this picture of God looking down from heaven. It says, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to release those appointed to death. Colossians 1:13 says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. He has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Captives, held captive by sin, held captive by the devil. Literally opening the doors of prisons, releasing the mind captive under sin. He brings comfort to the prisoner. He opens all the prison doors. He breaks off all the chains of slavery. Again, he did that in my life. He came to set the captives free. 2 Timothy gives us a picture of what that captivity or where it's from. When it's talking about a servant of the Lord and how he must not quarrel, he should be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, that they may know the truth, that they may come to their senses, having escaped the snare. In other words, they're trapped. They're captives. They're trapped in the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. They're in bondage. Who here remembers that? Yeah. God set you free. He released that trap that was upon you that you could not have freed yourself from. He did that in my life. How many around us do we walk by every day that are captive? They're taken captive by the devil. They can't see. But Jesus came to give recovery of sight to the blind, it says. Isaiah 42:7 says, he came to open blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. That was you and I. He did this literally many times. But most of all, he opens up our spiritual eyes. The scriptures give us the picture of those whose minds are darkened or who are blind, and gives us a picture of groping, you know, through life, through a dark world, groping, looking for something, not seeing where they're going, not understanding what they need, blind. There's a guy that walks around town here, and every time Rose sees him, she says, every time I see that gentleman, it reminds me of all the lost souls walking around lost, because he's not mentally there. I don't know if you've seen him. His name's Jim. I've had many conversations with Jim. He's like a wandering soul. That's what he reminds us of, a wandering soul. It's a reminder to me of all the people out here that are wandering souls, that are lost. They can't see. They're not in their right mind. But God came to give recovery of sight to the blind, those who haven't seen the light, those who haven't had their eyes open yet to the wonder of who Jesus is. He came to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And the idea is those pushed down, either by great calamities or their hearts are pressed or bruised. But yet in Matthew 12:20, we're told a bruised reed he will not break. A smoking flax he will not quench till he sends forth his justice and victory. I remember being that smoking flax. All it would have taken was just a little more pressure and I was gone. But God nurtured and he brought light and he came alongside me. And he did it through people. And he fanned it. And somehow he brought it back to life. He ignited that fire again. And there's so many around us. They're flickering. They're about to go out. The lights are about to go out on them. Maybe they heard of God at one time in their life. Maybe there was a little flickering. God came to set at liberty those who are oppressed and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And that's alluding to the year of Jubilee. It was a year when all debt was freely taken away from anyone who had debt. Servants were set free on the year of Jubilee. And the gospel calls us, every man, to come when we hear this acceptable year. Come, let your debts be canceled. Be free. You're not a slave to sin anymore. John 1, verse 6 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. And we heard it this morning. Let your light shine. Jesus said, let your light shine. Like a city on a hill, let your light shine before men. Your light. That light is in us now. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. We are here. We are ambassadors. We are here to bear witness. To tell the world what we know about Jesus, the good news. We're sent now with that same anointing. God has commissioned us to go. That is our mission. Anointed by God, filled with the Holy Spirit. That is key, by the way. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't begin his ministry until the Spirit came upon him. The disciples didn't begin their ministry until the Spirit came upon them. We need the Holy Spirit. And Jesus came to baptize us with the Holy Spirit. All we need to do is ask. We need his heart, which sometimes is painful. We need his anointing. And if you have repented of your sins, if you have been washed by the blood of Christ through faith, you, as again we heard this morning already, you have been bought with a price. You are no longer your own. You have been set apart by God for his use. You have been prepared for good works. Your body has been prepared for God to fulfill his mission through. You're not your own. You don't get to live your own life. Your life now is hidden in Christ. Your life now is to be lived for the glory of God and for his mission that he has left you here for. But we have to be the ones to offer up our bodies to him. Again, you see how God spoke to us this morning, two different ones? He reminded us of that, didn't he? Through Josh. We need to remind ourselves every day, Lord, I give you my heart, I give my soul. Everything I have, everything I am is yours. Today, God, use this vessel. Lord, give me the Holy Spirit today. Lord, help me to walk in the anointing you walked in. Lord, help me to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Help me, Lord, to open blind eyes, to share the good news of the gospel, to be your hands and feet to those around me. And it's a daily thing we must do. That's what this fellowship is all about. Really, my intent this morning is just to remind us why we're here. Why, after 22 years at a ministry that really had a focus on a certain aspect or sin that people can give themselves over to, why, after 22 years, feeling called, Rose and I, that our season was over, praying about what was next, knowing that God had spoken to me, really just through a burden that started much sooner than the time that I left that ministry I worked at. And the burden really was just the needs of this community right here in Grant County. Year after year, the more I got involved in the community, I became overwhelmed, burdened with the need of this community. And God shared his vision, I believe, with me. He showed me and Rose what he wanted us to do. Now, I didn't want to stay here. I had plans. And it was to serve him, but it was what I felt like maybe I wanted to do. And I'll just tell you what it was. We really thought we would just go be missionaries. I had a realtor come out. We were going to sell our house. But then some certain things happened with my mom, different things. It kind of put it on hold. And then God reminded me of the vision he gave me about a year and a half early that he told me to seal up, put in a file, and just leave it there, and that if it was from him, it would come to pass. And I'm not going to get into all the details, but he basically made it very clear that this was where he wanted us. He even made it very clear that that building on the corner was going to be our building. And I'm not going to get into all the details of that, but that building is there. We are there for a reason. It's I call it our Times Square of Dry Ridge. It really is. And it's on Broadway. And it's a lighthouse. Even the name, all that, I'm not going to get into all the, I'm just telling you, I'm not a visionary type of guy. I'm just not. I'm a pastor at heart, definitely evangelistic. I'm not a visionary. But I really know God gave me this burden. It was a burden that wouldn't go away, and it's still there today. Even though I struggle at times and question, he's very faithful to remind me, no, this is it. And there's going to be other people that want to participate in meeting the need. So he had us start Lighthouse Biblical Counseling Center with the understanding a church would be birthed out of that. And again, the verse he gave me, two verses, was the one I just shared. I'm going to read them both. This is where the vision, it's why it's God's vision. It's his word. Matthew 9:36 was one he really used to just lay that burden. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. That's not just like, oh, look at those poor people. No, it's something that it's heavy. Weep over it. And you cannot do nothing. You have to roll your sleeves up and get involved in the need, knowing it's going to be dirty, messy, and it's going to cost everything. That's the compassion of God. That's what you see when you look at Christ crucified. That's compassion. They're called some bowels of compassion. It comes from the depths of your soul. And it's from God. It's from the Lord. Listen, if it was up to me, trust me, I would go, oh, yeah, that's too bad. Oh, here's a little money. You know, I'd feel a little better about myself. No, it's much more than that. I understand it cost me my life, and it's great. It's fine. I'm fine with that. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered. Lost, like sheep having no shepherd. Do you see them? Do we really see them around us? They're all around us. And then he gave me Luke 4:18, which I read to you. I'm not going to read it again. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And it's a mission. It's our mission. The mission hasn't changed. Jesus fulfilled it, and we are to continue in it. That's our mission. That's our vision. So the church, this was written down years ago, years before this started. It will not be about a building or a place. It will be about the body of Christ, and it will be about people. People of prayer, but people who go. Now, we've let this pandemic prolong us going long enough. And we are moving out. We are moving out of these walls. Not that we haven't done. I know you guys are in your ways sharing and reaching out to people. But I'm talking about as a body, I'm talking about the needs that are around us. We are walking into that. We are getting back into that. That's why I'm sharing this with you. I'm reminding us of what we're doing here. So we're going to be people of prayer, but people who go. And the counseling center is at the core of this work. Why? Because counseling, forget the word counseling. Because the vision was go make disciples. Counseling is discipleship. So that building, that counseling center, is a place of discipleship. It's a place where we are able to shine a light to people with problems, to people that need help, but really, it's evangelism. It's a way to evangelize people. It's a way to be aware of the need. And then the church is there to come and practically meet a lot of those needs. So you understand why that counseling center is so important. It is the core of why this church started. The church really was birthed out of that. And so that leads into reaching out to the practical needs of the community. I'll pray for you. No, give them some food. They need clothes, give them some clothes. They need housing. If we can, help them with housing. That was part of the vision. Missions. Understanding it's not just about our little world and what we're doing here, but that we are involved in worldwide missions. And we are, we do support, and especially now we're limited, but how can we be more involved in missions? I'm looking at my brother because I know he has a heart for that. God's got a way around coronaviruses. Amen. So sending, supporting our brothers and sisters around the world through prayer and finances. Evangelistic outreach to the community. Next month, we're probably going to have church in the park. In the back of Allison's house, that it's kind of there to the park. Outreach to the community. The body meeting together during the week. So we can be equipped to go do the work. And I want to just say this to you. We have tons of resources on our website, teachings we've given, discipleship, to help you, first of all, be disciple, but know how to make disciples. It's all there available for you. So the other part really is, we're here to minister to those with addictions, with all kinds of family, marriage issues. We understand, obviously, we were at Pure Life for 22 years. We're here, we're available for Pure Life grads to help them transition for marriage counseling. So that's another little part of what we do. We're here to train people that want to be certified in biblical counseling. We need certified biblical counselors. We especially need women that are willing to, and it takes time, it takes commitment, to be trained to use the Bible to help people with any kind of problem, because Scripture has the answer. Scripture is sufficient for all of man's ailments, as long as they're not physical, diagnosable with an actual test. That's what it's all about. We need help over there. We need women that would come alongside, discipling other women, knowing how to counsel them from the Word of God. That's what the training is for. Listen, if I could do it, anybody can do it. I'm serious. I'm not Mr. Scholastic. If I could do it, you can do it. And this was on my mind earlier. You got to stop feeling like, well, I'm not ready yet. No, I got stuff going on in my life. I'm not ready yet.
Where do you see that in the Bible? Oh, when I look at the book of Acts, I see people got saved, they prayed for them, they received the Holy Spirit, and they immediately began speaking the word of God with boldness. Tell anybody. Get out of your head that, you know, I got to be this certain thing. You will wait the rest of your life because you will never be there. If I felt that way, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing, that's for sure. It's actually not bad to understand you ain't got the goods, because then you'll rely on God. But see, you got to have faith, because what is it? It's his anointing. It's his spirit that comes upon you. All those disciples, most were unlearned men, but they had been with Jesus. Has God saved you? Do you understand what he's done for you on the cross? You're ready. You're ready to share the gospel with people. You're ready to be used by God to minister to whoever. So don't limit yourself, okay? So I share this really just to renew the vision of why we're here. And it's an invitation. And I understand it looks different for all of us. It doesn't look the same for all of us. You know, it's just different for all of us. Not everyone's called to certain specific things, but I want us to be open because that's why we're here. God, what is my mission? Lord, how do you want to use me to share the gospel with others? So we're going to have more things coming out from here about what we're going to be doing, opportunities. We are getting back into Meadowview. We'll probably be in there next month at some point, start to do something. And we're going to begin to also meet practical needs. We're going to start a food bank downstairs. There's a room sitting down there that I've had a burden for, and I'm done praying for it. People need food. We're going to need food at some point. We should have a food pantry. We're going to have a food pantry. Nothing to pray about. There's a need, and we need to just, by faith, start storing some food down there and pray that God will send us people in need. And whatever else comes up. But more than that, guys, I just want to finish this with, let God begin to move you out of your comfort zones. Let God begin to help you understand what your calling is. And we'll help you with that. Please come talk to us. If you have burdens, please come talk to us if you have questions. We'll be meeting. We'll be having prayer times together. We'll be praying together, talking about things. And we're going to trust the Lord to unfold things. But the time of sitting is done. We're starting to walk. We're already starting to walk. So I just want to encourage you guys with that and finish with prayer. And just trust the Lord that he's going to lead and guide this body in the days to come. So, Lord, I thank you this morning, first and foremost, that you came. There'd be no hope, there'd be no reason to live, I know for myself, if you didn't come and fulfill your mission. But Lord, there's so many around us. They're right around us. And you're looking for hands and feet. You're looking for mouths. You're looking for our resources. Most of all, Lord, you just want us. So Lord, I know for me, I gave you everything today. And I pray that everyone here today would examine their heart, just like Josh said, Lord, we would reevaluate. And Lord, that you would help us. First of all, you'd remind us of what you gave. And in light of that, we would just offer our bodies up a living sacrifice. And Lord, allow you to work through us and to walk into the works you've already prepared beforehand for us. And help us all to know, Lord, where we fit in that. And I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to do that. So God, I thank you this morning, God. I thank you that we can participate with you in your plan, in your mission to a lost and dying world, Lord. And I'm believing, God, for many, many souls to come into your kingdom in the days to come, Lord. So God, we just commit this to you. We trust you to fulfill your vision through all of us, Lord, as we simply yield to you, as we simply look to you, have faith in you, Lord, and surrender our lives to you, to do with us as you would, Lord. So, God, I thank you, and I just trust you to do above and beyond what I even know to ask or think. And we just commit all these things to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.